Good morning. It's good to see this number with us this morning. And if you have your New Testament, if you'll be turning to the Revelation letter in the 12th chapter, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment. Revelation chapter 12. So good to be here on this Lord's Day morning, studying the Word of God and worship. What a joy it is as God's people to come before His throne of grace and mercy and to worship Him and to praise His holy name. In the Revelation letter and the 12th chapter, if you will, look with me at verses 13, and we'll read down through about verse 17. Revelation 12, and we'll look at about verse 11, and we'll read down through about verse 17. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea! For the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times and a half a time, from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. At this particular time, John is writing in regard to Jesus. And when you read your Bible, you'll find that John is wanting the people of this time, in symbolic language, to understand that the devil is angry. If you take your Bible in the Revelation letter and the 12th chapter, notice the statement in verse 12. The devil has come down to you having great wrath. If you have your Bible, may I suggest you underscore great wrath. The devil was angry with Israel, and in particular the tribe of Judah. And he did all he could to destroy the tribe of Judah, because the devil recognized that through the tribe of Judah would come the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he was angry with the Christ, and he wanted to do everything he could to keep the Savior and Redeemer of mankind from coming unto the earth and being the sacrifice that takes away the sin of man. If you take your Bible this morning, look, if you will, in the book of Matthew in the 2nd chapter. In Matthew chapter 2, you remember that when Jesus was born, that at the very beginning, Jesus was persecuted. You remember that when Herod had heard that Jesus was born, he sought to have him put to death. And in your Bible, in the book of Matthew in the 2nd chapter, in verse 16, you remember that Herod, when he saw that he had been deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. Look at that word, angry. Not just angry, exceedingly angry. Herod was going to display the attribute we saw of the devil, great wrath. And the devil's going to work through Herod by tempting that man to want to get rid of Jesus. And in his anger, notice what Herod does. He sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. I want you to recognize that the devil was angry that Jesus had been born. And the devil did all he could by tempting Herod and others that they might put to death every young male child, that they might put to death the Christ. The devil did not want the Redeemer of man to come into the earth. He did not want man to have a way to be reconciled to God. And thus the devil did all he could to prevent the birth of Christ. And all through the life of Jesus, the devil did all he could to prevent Jesus from being the perfect Lamb of God. But then if you have your Bible, notice not only is the devil mad at the tribe of Judah, and not only was he mad at the Christ, but notice, if you will, he's mad at the church. In the Revelation letter in the 12th chapter, you'll see at first he talks about Israel, but then the conversation changes to the church of my Lord. And I want you to recognize in symbolic language, without going into some in-depth study of the Revelation letter, we find that the devil will do all he can to destroy the church of my Lord. He does not want God's people to be what they should be. He does not want them living a holy life. And the devil will do all he can to destroy the people of God. If you take your Bible for just a moment, look at what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5, when Peter's describing the devil, notice how he describes him. He says that we need to be sober, and he says we need to be vigilant. But then he gives us a reason. He says in verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, underscore adversary, the devil is not your friend, he's your adversary, he's your enemy. And the devil seeks to destroy you. Look at the next line. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Do you recognize this morning that the devil is angry? And what I want to do for just a few moments of our time is talk about what makes the devil mad. Just what is it that makes the devil so angry that he seeks to destroy the people of God? And then I want to ask a serious question. I want us to, at the end of our study, look and see if he's being successful in our life. The first thing I want us to recognize is that the devil is angry when we live a holy life. Open your Bible and notice in the epistle to Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and 2, that when Peter's writing to the people of God, he tells them the kind of attitude we need to have. And then in 1 Peter 2, he tells us that we need to be holy people. He said you need to be holy as God is holy. And you know what makes the devil mad, my friend? What makes the devil mad is when the people of God are holy. Because they represent their heavenly Father and they do not represent Him. If you take your Bible for just a moment, look if you will in the book of Luke. And when you come to the book of Luke and the fourth chapter, notice, if you will, that when Satan is tempting Jesus out in the wilderness, that Satan is seeking to do all he can to prevent Jesus from being holy. And he says to Jesus time and time again, if you are the Son of God, show your deity. Do this or do that. And I want you to recognize what the devil is seeking to do is not to show, for Jesus to show his deity. What the devil is seeking to do is to get Jesus to violate God's law. Have you ever thought that's what the devil seeks? To get people to live unholy lives. Open your Bible, if you will, to the book of John in the 8th chapter. And when you come to the book of John in the 8th chapter, Jesus does not want us to follow our heavenly Father. He wants to be our Father. And look at what Jesus had to say in verse 44. In John 8, 44, when he's talking to some of the people of that day, he said, you are of your father, the devil. Underscore that. If God is not your father, then the devil is your father. And we only have one father. Either God in heaven is our heavenly Father, and his brother Lowell prayed a moment ago, and he said, our Father in heaven. If God is our Father, then we submit to God. And we resist the devil, as Peter said in 1 Peter 5, 9, resisting. Or we will submit to the devil and resist God. And the devil is our father. But you don't have two fathers. Either you're following the devil or you're following God. Either you're holy or you are unholy. Look again at verse 44. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. You know what makes the devil mad this morning? When truth is preached, when truth is proclaimed and truth is taught, it makes the devil so mad he don't know what to do. And the devil will do everything he can to keep truth suppressed. In Romans 1, it talks about the people who suppress the truth of God. Can I tell you this morning, if there's anything the devil enjoys, it's when the truth of God is suppressed, when the truth of God is not preached, when the truth of God is adulterated, then the devil can rejoice because individuals are being led astray and individuals can be lost. But if the devil hears truth being preached, I can put this much down, it makes the devil mad. Have you ever thought, my friend, when we live holy lives and preach the truth of God, it makes the devil mad? But I want to tell you a third thing that makes the devil mad. Not only when we preach the truth, and not only when we live a holy life does the devil get angry, but when we worship. You ever thought that when we come together on the first day of the week, this makes the devil so mad? When we come together and give God glory, it makes the devil mad because he's not getting glory. He realizes that God is our Father, and he doesn't want God to be our Father. He wants us to worship him and follow him and live our lives according to his will, not God's will. And the devil only has this world, this time, where he can be the god of this age, as the writer Paul says. And so here the devil is doing all he can to get individuals to follow his will. And yet when men and women come together and worship God, I'll tell you, it makes the devil angry. Now I'll tell you what doesn't make you angry. Is if we sit here and we're not really in the worship. Now if we come together and when someone leads the prayer, our mind is a million miles away, that doesn't bother the devil one bit because your mind isn't focused upon the Father. But when we sit together and we pray together and we go to the throne of God together, we go through our high priest Jesus Christ, as Hebrews 4 said, I'll tell you, that makes the devil mad. But I want to tell you else what makes the devil mad. Not only when we pray together, but when we sing together. Have you ever thought, my friend, singing is something that really shows a vulnerability? Oh man, I like to sing, but I'll tell you, not many people like to listen to me sing. Sometimes I get in the shower and I just belt out a song and I think that sounds good. And you know, my family, I think they're glad the water's running. They don't think it sounds so good. But when we come together and we lift up our voices, there's a vulnerability. We're letting people know what's in our heart. And we're singing these songs of praise to God. And whether we have a beautiful singing voice or not, I'll tell you what makes the devil mad: when we worship and adore God from the heart. Now, if today we had a full orchestra, we had the band, and we struck up the band and had everything under the sun, now, my friend, the devil wouldn't mind that because we're being entertained. The devil doesn't care if we're entertained. That's one of his greatest tools to distract us from worship. If the devil can entertain us and the devil can distract us, then our mind isn't focused on God. But when we come and we sing praises to God, when we sing how great thou art, when we sing how firm a foundation, I want you to understand that makes the devil angry because he realizes our heart is on adoring the God of heaven. But I want to tell you a third thing. You want to know what makes the devil mad? When he sees men and women studying the Word of God and understanding the truth that we talked about a moment ago. Oh, I want you to recognize the more you study, the more the devil becomes angry and he's filled with great wrath. Why? Because he knows the more we know about God and the more we know God, the less he's going to have a chance of leading us astray. Oh, when I think about love of God and I think about what God has done for me and I think about the sacrifice of Jesus and I consider and study together with men and women of like precious faith and we have spiritual fellowship and I see that God has been merciful to us, I'll tell you, my friend, I want to praise him more. And the more I want to praise him, the nearer I want to be to him, and the closer I am to him, the more that I become like his son, conformed to his image as is taught in Romans 8. And I'll tell you, that makes the devil mad. The devil is mad when men and women study the Word of God. I got a question for you this week. How much have you studied the Word of God? Have you made the devil angry because you've taken this book and you've opened this book and you've just read God's Word? Have you taken the book and looked into what God has revealed to us? Or have we been people that the devil just looked at it and said, I don't have to worry about them. They don't know the first thing about God. And they're not drawing nearer to God. But I'll tell you what else. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, it makes the devil mad. Oh, just a moment ago when our hearts were lifted up in prayer and we thought about the body and we thought about the blood of Jesus And we partook of that reminder, that sacrifice of Jesus when we thought about what He'd done for us. And we partook of the Lord's Supper. I want to tell you, that made the devil mad. I'll tell you, the devil wasn't filled a bit with wrath if we didn't think about what we were doing. Now, I recognize sometimes as humans we have to battle. Our mind will wander off and we got to bring it back. And it'll wander off and we got to bring it back. But I want to tell you, my friend, don't ever lose the battle of thinking about what Jesus did for us. If the devil could ever get our eyes off the cross, he won't be a bit angry. He'll be happy. But I want to tell you what makes the devil mad: when our eyes are focused on Jesus. And when we think about what He did for us, His sacrifice to take away our sin, that makes the devil mad. I want to tell you else what makes the devil mad: when we give of our means. Now, if the devil can make us greedy and the devil can make us be attached to our pocketbook, then the devil's happy because he realizes that's become our God. But when we give back to God sacrificially, and we give so that the work of God can be continued here and in other places, I want to tell you, that makes the devil mad. Because the devil realizes we have a concern for souls. And the devil doesn't want another soul saved. He wants every soul he can have. He wants to be the Father. And he doesn't want us to call God Father. But that brings up another thought in our study. I want you to notice something else that makes the devil mad. And that's when the people of God are unified. Have you ever noticed that when a church begins to grow and has some progress, there almost always seems to be a problem? And I've come to believe that the devil will tempt man and the devil will put every stumbling block he can to keep a local church from growing. He'll let individuals become prideful. He'll let individuals become those who hold grudges. He'll do whatever he can to keep the local church from growing. And sometimes I've seen brethren fight over things that don't matter to a hill of beans. And I'll tell you what I believe it is. They've given in to the temptation of the devil and they're prohibiting the growth of the local church. You think about it. Anytime it looks like the local church is about to grow some, there'll be a problem. You mark it down. And it always seems like it's a problem that comes from within. And I believe that is the devil doing all he can to keep this local church at Eastside from being unified. If he can keep us splintered, if he can keep us stirred up, if he can keep us from having peace, then my friend, he's not a bit angry. But when he sees us loving one another and working together for the cause of God, I'll tell you what, that makes the devil angry. I want to tell you what else makes the devil angry. And it's something we need to think about. When someone dies that is in Christ. Now, death is still an enemy to us. It's called the last enemy in 1 Corinthians 15. Christ has conquered it, but it's still an enemy to us. But when the devil sees someone who dies in the Lord, oh, I'll tell you, that makes the devil angry. Because he lost a soul. We think of a lost soul going to hell. To the devil, a lost soul is one that goes the other way. He's lost one of his disciples. He's lost an opportunity to take somebody with him to everlasting torment. Have you ever stopped to think about when a loved one dies that's in Christ? They're no longer a victim. They're the victor. But I want to tell you something else. Go back to Revelation 12 and notice why the devil's angry. He realizes something I wish we would realize. In Revelation 12, and look again at verse 12, the devil has come down to you having great wrath. Why? He knows he has a short time. He knows that his time is limited. Sometimes I don't think we realize that we have a short time. Life is called a vapor in James 4. We're reminded that we're here for just a few days. Jacob, when they asked how old Jacob was, Jacob said, I'm 120 years old. My days have been few and far full of trouble. Few. Over 120, 130. I can't remember exactly. But Jacob was saying, that's how old I am. And we would think that's an aged person. Jacob says, my days have been few. Job says in Job 14 and verse 1 that man who is born of woman, he's full of trouble. And his time is what? Few. I'll tell you, the devil's angry. He knows his time is short. I've got a question as we close this lesson. Have we made the devil angry? Now, if you're not a Christian, you've never been baptized for the remission of sins, you don't live your life according to the will of God, you're not holy, you don't follow God, you not call God your Father, I'll tell you one thing, the devil's not a bit angry with you. You know why? He's already got you. He's your Father. But I'll tell you this. If you are a child of God and you've had your sins blotted out by the blood of Christ and you're walking in the light, then the devil's angry. And I'll tell you what he's going to do. He's going to do everything he can to trip you up. The Christian life's not easy, because the devil's out to get us. But I want to tell you something. I want the devil to be mad. I want to tell you a little story about my youngest sister. Right now, she's not faithful, and I'm very disappointed. But I'll never forget when I baptized her. She was scared of water. I couldn't get her to go under the water. She was just so frightened. And I finally got her that she would dunk herself, and I just put my hand on the top of her head so she'd go under. When she went under, she came up, and she said, "Mama, is the devil angry now?" He may not be angry now with how she's living, but he was at that moment. And I want you to realize that if we make the devil angry, let him be angry for all eternity. But when we make our life right, what does it say in Luke 15? Heaven rejoices over one sinner that repents. Angels rejoice. You can make beings that have been in the presence of God for eternity rejoice. And make the devil angry by accepting God's invitation. If you're here and you need to obey God, we pray you come. Let's together, we stand.